Last week I talked about the good and the evil. Remember that? There's some important things that I've been working to accomplish here. It's very important, and I want to stay the course, so to speak. And that is, one of the things is I believe in very much is that our church and our people, that we are true believers. Not this fake stuff, man. Not this speak with your mouth and not have it in your heart. I like to see us being real and believers and true. And, you know, the Lord was that way, isn't he? Isn't the Lord that way? You think his disciples were that way? Took them a while, but they got there, didn't they? And so their teachings, as I mentioned last week, the teachings of the apostles were something that, I mean, established the foundation of the church. And the church was built on some very good principles. And if we live by them, we will be built on those same principles. So we work really hard to continue in the truth. And I do believe that there are levels to the Spirit. I believe that. There's higher places in God that you want to go. Is that would you agree you want to go to the higher places of God? Somebody asked me one time, what do you think heaven's like? Well, I do think there's different places of heaven that you can attain to. And so the question would be, who gets to go where? And who gets what? We say, well, we're all equal, are we? Are we? Are we all equal? We should be. But are we? We all have the same opportunity. But are we equal? That depends on the person. The person in their life will seek to excel into greater perfection. While one person does, one person may not want to. So are they equal? One person will excel in their gifts and abilities because they seek the Lord and they lay their life down and they go for it. The other person may say, I want to be equal to that. I want all of that, but they don't want to live the same life. So that's what I mean by that, is the Lord loves us all, doesn't he? Has he given us all the opportunity to believe and to excel in God? What makes one person grow and another person not? The will, the desires, the battle you fight. I would say this. How many of you have ever fought a war, a battle? Anybody? In the mind? Yeah? Well, how you fight that battle matters. One person complains, the next person edifies the Lord. Who wins the battle? The one that edifies the Lord. Yeah, because it belongs to the Lord. Good one, Dave. The truth of that is how we approach life, how we approach God, how we approach everything we do. It matters, doesn't it? So, do I want you to stop complaining? Yeah. Yeah, not just for me or for you in your relationship with God. Do I want you to stop doubting? Absolutely. Absolutely. For the kingdom of God in you. Because do I want you to have the peace that we talk about? Yeah, absolutely. Because it matters. And so for the children of God, we have to build a church on a foundation that is so strong that you never fall, ever. That's amazing. Because we've been through a fall, haven't we? Do you want to keep falling? Repetitive cycle of falling. No. What overcomes a fall? How about stand up on your feet? Resurrection, right, Megan? Doesn't Paul talk about that? Stand Therefore, in the liberty which God has given you, stand. If you don't want to fall, stand up. Get your balance. Get your feet straight up serving the Lord. And so what is the word of God we teach do for you? It helps you stand. That's why God has given us this word, to help us stand and do right. And that's awesome to me. I love that. Last week I talked about the good and evil and showed that the evil has been there because it's been in the mind. It's been in the consciousness. And how that when Adam and Eve went into sin, evil was manifested. And what was the key to having evil dominate you? Do you remember? It's because you don't understand it. And so the idea is, let God help you understand it. And we ended last week by saying that we read in Hebrews, and I'm actually going to start there again and continue from there. We talked about that the continual practicing or the exercising of good and evil, that's what helps you grow up. Okay? The last thing that we want is a... This is going to sound funny, but I guess, we don't want our church to be a daycare. What does that mean? What am I saying? We want some grown-ups here. Yeah, of course you're going to have children. You always want them. They're needful. But I'm talking about spiritually now. We want to be mature and grown in the Lord. It's the mature ones that overcome, that always overcome, that always serve the Lord in a sense of giving and receiving the right way. Let's start reading. Hebrews chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 11. Remember, this is where we spoke of, he's talking about Melchizedek, and he's saying, about this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Remember we dealt with all of that last week? Why are you dull of hearing? You don't understand? Your eyes are blind? We talked about that. The hearing, it's because you don't understand good and evil. When you're dull of hearing, you don't understand good and evil. You know what's interesting, and I brought this out last week, is How well do we receive the Lord coming to us and showing us evil within us? No one likes to be told they're wrong at all. And nowadays, it's getting harder to do so. But I encourage you as people of God, love, love, love when God comes to you to reprove you and correct you. Because in that, what is he actually doing? He's giving you the understanding of evil, and he's removing the sin from you. So love it with all your heart. But then also learn to love how to hear the truth as well. Remember we said, I want to keep reminding about this too. Have you ever wanted to know the truth? And then when you heard it, you realized, I'm not sure I wanted to hear that. Because sometimes the truth is so much the truth that it wears on you. You literally sometimes can't handle the truth. Now we think everybody should be able to handle the truth. But imagine if a lie is so strong in you that when the truth comes, you can't handle it. So would that make you dull of hearing? It would, wouldn't it? So what does God want to do? He wants to grow you up so you can handle anything. You know how to be best friends with God? What do you think? There's no hiding. Right on, man. What else? Be humble. Honesty. Good answers. All of these are, let's say you take two best friends. What's the common thing among two best friends? You could tell them anything. Communication. Truth is present. There's no lies there. That's my point. It's like, notice in our society, what is the thing that is, it's like within everybody. We need to appear a certain way so that we're accepted. It's all lies, isn't it? Falsehood. Do you want that? Is that how you like living? Or are you a person that can be open and honest and just, here I am. This is the truth. Here's who I am. Here's what I am. This is the truth. I try to do good and be better. Imagine having a relationship with God that way. God says, I could tell you anything. And we say, well, why wouldn't he want to? No, he does. But imagine us, even in an idea of forming God in a religious mindset. What if you were taught a certain thing about God your whole life and God came to you one day and said, that's not me at all. Let me show you who I am. And it freaked you out. So we got to grow up into the truth. And that's what God's been doing in our church. He's growing us into higher truths. And so you may have said, I want to understand all the spiritual things. I want to dream this and see this. Well, there's a lot of cost to that. And so if you want to get there, then understand this one thing. You got to have a great foundation, and you got to be able to build on that foundation and a lot of patience to let that work. He's taken us from children to maturity. Isn't that awesome? That's what we want to focus on. The apostles' teachings will get us there. That's why on these Wednesday night meetings, I reverted to a little bit the ones that show up here. We sit in the back now and we just pull up chairs and we all just kind of sit and talk. And I want to get into things that matter. And I want to show people that there are things like we say, I love the Lord. I love God. I love God. Well, I want to know, how do you love God? Show me how, show all of us, how do you love God? And not to go, well, see, I gotcha. You say it, but you don't know how. That's not the point. I'm the type of guy that I want to give a test, but I want to give you all the answers so you learn it and then take the test and pass it 100%. That's what I think about it. That's why God gave us a Bible. Here's all your answers. Let's take the test and you'll pass. And so I don't want you to have to guess. I believe the Lord wants to tell us all the answers. If you say you love God, then let's give you the right answers of how that works. If you say you die in with Christ, let's get the right answers on how to do that. The apostles wrote all the answers that we need on how to live for God. So that's why I've been taking some time to kind of review this. But let's get back to this point. He said, I read verse 11, right? 12, for though by this time ye ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Now that makes total sense. When you're only on milk, you can't eat solid food. I mean, we all have seen children. We've been children. That's just the way of growth, isn't it? So, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. Now, he's just discerning this for us. He's saying, if you're only on milk, you're a child. There's nothing wrong with being a child unless you stay a child. That's the only problem with being a child, is if you stay a child and never grow up. That wasn't God's plan, was it? No. God's plan is to grow you up. So if you only like milk, then you tend to stay at that place. But if you want to grow up, you got to start learning to eat substance and evidence. You got to start receiving meat and discernment. And that's how you grow up. Growing up is built on discernment of good and evil. That's how you grow up. It's so simple. If you're afraid of evil, it's going to be hard to grow up. And I'm telling you, that old saying, you know, we've said it because of the movies and stuff that have been out over the years. But that old saying of you can't handle the truth, that is real, man. Like, there's a reality, and here's what I emphasized last week. There is evil everywhere. You got to be able to handle that. You've got to handle that not everybody chooses life. You've got to handle every parable. You can't be offended at every evil work. You just can't be offended. If it offends you, you will not walk in the truth. And so here's what I say to everybody. I think I've said this especially to the deacons, is we could sit back and talk about somebody at how they're not getting it right. But yet, we're talking about them. And we have no ministry for them. You know what would give you a right to talk about somebody? Is if you are walking in the Spirit and could actually minister to them and help them. Then you could speak the truth about it. But if you can't help them, why would you speak evil of them? Help them. If you can't help them, don't speak of them. And that these are the practices of kind of look within at our own self. And this is what I had to learn growing up through pastoring, is I could have judged all you people here, and I could say, well, this person's got this, and this person's got that. Well, I could sit back and complain, but what good would that do? It hurt me and you. So the Lord says, let me teach you how to be the gift of God, and then you can discern good and evil, and then we can work the works of God to it. Wouldn't that be better? I think that's better. That requires us to grow up. So at some point, our church is going to look at one another and discern good and evil, but yet let the gift of God rise up within us. That's pretty awesome. And therefore, we've got to be able to handle, we got to handle the truth of parables and evil and things like that. And if we can, we'll be skilled in the Word of God. These teachings that these apostles wrote help us with that. How many times have I said that today? Last week. I'm going to try to get to 100. I left off in verse 14, maybe. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. That's constant practice or exercise, as we say. To have our senses exercised in good and evil. Isn't that what we're after? To learn good and evil. It's last week we said this is where God started. It's all about good and evil. So don't let somebody else's parable torment you. Okay? Learn how to discern it, and the Lord will bless us. Now, the Apostle Paul, before I get back to this, the Apostle Paul said something in 1 Corinthians 3. And I think I'm going to start in verse 1. And he had something to say about this, about being carnal and spiritual. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. People of the flesh is carnal, but as of carnal, as infants in Christ. He says, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. Babies. Carnal. Now notice, he's wanting to address them with spiritual things. But he said, I can't because you're yet carnal. You're of the flesh. Now this is an apostle Paul speaking here. And he's talking to a church and he's saying, I desire to give you spiritual things. But if the flesh is still there, will it cause your hearing to be dull? Right. Next verse, verse 2. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready. And he's telling us why you're not ready for solid food, for the mature. For you are still of the flesh, carnal. For while there is jealousy, strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way or as men, as people? Notice, this is so good. This discernment right here is awesome. He's telling us why you remain children in the Spirit. Because you live according to the flesh. Didn't Jesus say, judge that you be not judged? Think about that. How many of you have ever judged another person through the flesh? Yeah. Outward appearance. What is the one thing we use to judge somebody by the flesh? Flesh. What they do in the flesh. We see them do something in the flesh and we go, ooh, look at that. We don't like it. And we judge them by the flesh. Have you heard Rick, our good friend Rick, Gary, Brian, me, Keith, Dave, Kenny? Do we preach? You must judge by prophecy, by the word of the Lord. And we've said it over and over again. What keeps us children? By judging after the flesh. So again, Micah, if I judge you by the flesh, where do we go? What do we do? Fall in a ditch. Well, that's true. Blind lead the blind. There you go. That was from last week. So what happens if Paul judged all his people by the flesh? Wouldn't have any churches. This church wouldn't be here. That's why the Lord said, sanctify the Lord, sanctify me, so that we can all grow up. Here we are, everybody. We're here. We're ready to grow up in God. That's what we want to do. So he says that, and he gets into greater things about following Paul versus Apollos and all of that. He dives into that deeper. You can read that. But I want to go over to Peter. And in chapter 2, verse 1, I want to hear what he has to say about this. Wow. Because if jealousy and envy and strife is all there, it's because we're carnal. We're of the flesh. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And he says, so put away all malice, which is wickedness, it's evil, and all deceit, which is deception, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. Put this away. Put it away. Like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. That is awesome. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now put it back on verse 2. Like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Notice how Peter explains this. He's saying that milk is used to help you grow up so that you can eat solid food. Salvation. I said this last week. Everybody pay attention. If you ask me what salvation is, a lot of times I'm going to answer, it is the discernment of good and evil. Salvation means I'm saved, right? It is taking me from an affliction and putting me into a place of salvation or being saved from something. If I understand good and evil, will I always be saved? I will. If I don't, will I keep falling to evil and the misunderstanding of good? I will, won't I? So salvation starts with milk. And he comes and he gives us the word. He gives us the word and helps us grow up. Let me give you an example. Let's say I say to you, do you believe in the resurrection? Yes, I believe in the resurrection. Good for you. But if I want you to understand resurrection, I need to teach you some deeper things. You know what a good example of this is? The Apostle Paul, we've read, matter of fact, Gary just preached a lot on it, 1 Corinthians 15. On the resurrection chapter, right, is what we kind of call it. Has anybody ever noticed that in the first half of that chapter, he is preaching and exhorting you to just believe that the resurrection is real? So he's basically just saying, hey, I'm telling you there's a resurrection. It's real simple. It's like, believe in it. Jesus rose from the dead. That's all he requires in the first part of that chapter is, all you got to do is believe in Jesus that the resurrection is real. It's kind of like milk. Yeah, is resurrection real? Absolutely, it's real. But the second part of that chapter, Paul says, now let me give you some meat. Let me teach you how resurrection works. It's the perfect example of milk and meat and solid food. That chapter gets you all fired up about believing in the resurrection, and then you get to a certain verse, and after that you go, you scratch your head and go, huh, what is he talking about? All this resurrection, new bodies, celestial and terrestrial, and my God, what does even all that mean? Ah, you got to grow up a little bit to get that. See, in the first part, you're like, you could come into the church and be like, Jesus rose from the dead. Do you believe that? Yeah. Amen. Resurrection is real. Oh, good. You're drinking milk. You got some milk going. Yeah, and I'm growing. Then you get into that next part, and you're like, whew, help me, man. I'm going to need a one-on-one for this one. Well, you might need a few milk sessions first. But nonetheless, how many of you want to understand all the mysteries of resurrection? Wouldn't you? Don't you? Yeah. Well, you need to grow up. For when you should be teachers, you're still on milk. These are beautiful teachings. They help us discern. And I never looked at it like a criticism or a condemnation. Like if I read this and it says, well, you should be teachers, but you're still on milk. You go, huh. Am I condemned about that? Or did that just give me the answer to understanding growing up? That's the way I look at it. I don't go, oh, I should be a teacher, man, dang it. But I'm a baby. When am I ever going to be a grown up? See, that shows you're a kid. Because that's the way kids act. Adults don't act that way. No, don't judge by the flesh. Don't judge by the flesh. Adults don't act that way. Everybody hear me? If a physical adult acts that way, it's because there's still some kid in them, some immaturity in them. Any adult that pitches a fit needs to grow up. Are we hearing this? It's just the way it is. And we could go, no, but they're 50 years old. Yeah, I've pitched a few fits at 50. I'm 54 now, so I'm way past that. So just being relatable here, if I can. We, in the principle of God, adults don't act that way. Children do. Children are carnal. Children are jealous. Children strive. Children pitch fits. Children condemn. Children have fear and doubts and unbelief. God is okay with it being there as long as you're growing. And you go, wait, God's okay with it being there. Take what I mean in context. Does he want it there? No. But he understands you have to grow up. So he'll suffer it for a time. That's what I mean by being okay. He's so patient, he'll suffer it for a time until we grow up. But ultimately, what's he want you to do? Grow up. Let the milk grow you into a salvation that is of age. And here in this church, I'm telling you, it is no profit for us as ministry to have everybody stay children. There's no profit in it. What glory comes to God? Now, it may give a pastor an opportunity to control. Say, like, if I know more than you for the whole life that I pastor the church, I know more than you. What? And I never share it with you to help you come into it. What good is that? What good? That just puffs me up and belittles you. Why in the world would I want that? Where is God in that? Where is the kingdom in that? And why would you want that for somebody else among you? Let's get past all that. We're going to grow up. So let me finish by going back to Hebrews 5. And in this chapter, 5 ends, but it doesn't really end. I know they put chapter 6 there, but it doesn't really end. The writer keeps writing. So chapter 5 ends with the last verse of chapter 5, Dave. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, the next chapter. Therefore. Everybody see that? It continues. He's telling us now how to grow up. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, which is perfection, not laying again foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings. That's baptisms. That's an interesting way to say it, and I love it because, anyway, we'll get to that later. The laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Now let me go back to verse 1, Dave. After telling us we should grow up, and Paul and Peter helping us discern what our problem is, walking in the flesh keeps us children, right? Growing up requires one thing from us. Now, we could answer a lot of things. You could say obedience, like we did, honesty. We could say truth, love, all of that, right? But growing up can be simplified into one thing, okay? Continue to receive the milk of the Word of God. And as you do and love it, ooh, all of a sudden, you grow to the point where you're not satisfied with just milk anymore. You want solid food. You want substance to this milk. And he teaches us right here, Therefore, let us leave. Or in other words, grow up. This is the whole point. Let us go unto maturity. He's not saying forsake the principles of Christ. He's saying let us grow up to where those are our foundation. Let us grow up so we can walk in the heavens with the Lord. Sit in heavenly places. Isn't that awesome? I'm telling you, the answer to growing up is to receive of the milk, learn these basic principles of Christ. They're not just found in these here. This is a nutshell version that's being read here of the principal doctrines of Christ. Jesus had a lot of principles in him. Like what? What do you think they are? Like do not lie? In other words, tell the truth. So help me, God, never raise your right hand if you're going to lie, okay? We probably see that all the time, huh? But he had a lot of principles that he worked and lived by. Wednesday night, we talked and went back to Matthew 5. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. Pure in heart shall see God. Wow, these are awesome, man. So I encourage you today, what's the answer to growing up? Continue to receive the milk. Grow up and begin to eat greater things. Have you noticed in your life, and this could apply to everybody in this room, have you noticed yet your ability to begin to eat greater, solid words of God? In other words, greater things of good and evil. Yeah. If you have, that's awesome. Keep going. Keep growing. Me and Brad were talking at Culver's the other day, man. Brad had some revelation come to him. I tell you, man, I was so happy because it was real, wasn't it, Brad? Yes. It was some good revelation on the revelation of Jesus and him being the Word. I mean, that was good stuff, but it's not milk. It's great stuff that you have to come to that may take a few years to get there, but you get there. And that's because you continue, right, Brad? When Brad was only drinking milk, oh my gosh. It's like a romper room, man. You ever wanted to get padded walls for your kid and just throw them in the room and just let them go stir crazy? That's children of God on milk. But we get there. We get there. We love God, man. That's the thing, don't we? We love God. I want you to really think on these things, okay? Now, I know you have, through the years, you have a lot of Word of God come to you. You do. You've been taught a lot of things, haven't you? But have you heard everything? Hence, why is everything so repetitive? Right? It has to be. I mean, thank God that the Bible's repetitive, because if we just read a few books of it, we miss it. So we got to read it again a different way, in a different way, in a different way. Thank God. Here, same thing. Come, repetitive, 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 but that one glorious morning that you come and you continue and you say, I heard it today. I think it's what you said, Brad. I heard it different today. Something quickened in me, right? Good for you. It's called growing up. Got to stay hungry. Hey, we love you guys online. We'll see you next week. And you guys here, be faithful, okay? Continue. Pray for one another, and let's keep this journey going, okay? Stay faithful to the course, all right? Hopefully, we'll have testimonies up here. I've been trying to work that out, get these schedules lined up. Maybe next Sunday we can have some testimonies up here. We'll see. If not, it'll be the following, okay? All right. God bless you.